Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm really excited about our guest today. I have Deborah Wanger with me, and Deborah's an actor, singer, and certified wellness coach. She has performed in theaters, cabarets, and screens from New York to Los Angeles. She's a sought-after speaker who's given workshops at university theater programs and corporate groups across the country, and an author whose book, The Resilient Actor, How to Kick Ass in the Business Without Kicking Your Ass, was an Amazon bestseller. The Resilient Actor's Workbook and Planner was just released. While working at Creative Arts Agency, she helped guide the careers of many top names, including Halle Berry and Antonio Banderas. Deborah lives in San Diego with her three children and her dog. Her album, Driving My Own Heart, is available on Amazon and iTunes. It is my awesome privilege and very excited to welcome Deborah to our show.
Well, thank you. I feel very welcomed.
Yes, absolutely. So, Deborah, let's just dive right in and let's start with filling in some of the gaps from your bio. Let's hear a little bit more about you, your journey, and then what you're really doing today.
Okay. Well, I started out in Chicago, Illinois, doing theater as a kid. I was very into performing. My big brother was in a theater group with Jeremy Piven's parents. They had a theater school. So I grew up watching my brother act with John Cusack and Joan Cusack and Jeremy Piven and some crazy talented people. And so I decided I wanted to do that. So I was just all in for acting and performing, went to a professional college theater program for a Bachelor of Fine Arts, then left that program and went out and just worked and did theater. And that's when I got, I was successful professionally, but I was very unsuccessful personally. I was in a dark hole personally. I was fat and miserable and unhappy. And when I wasn't working, I was miserable. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was just not in a bad way. So I decided I was going to go on my journey to try to find health and happiness. So I went back to school and I got my bachelor's degree in Boston. And then I worked in radio for a while. And then I worked in Hollywood on the business side of things. I worked at CAA, the big talent agency. And then I worked as a talent manager and I learned all about the business side of the business. So I was, again, doing pretty well financially and with my career, but I still wasn't happy. That still wasn't scratching the itch. And I was gaining and losing weight and just not happy and healthy personally. And then I came down to San Diego because I was in LA, and I started acting again and I got certified as a health coach. I finally found some answers as far as what was working for me to keep my weight down and fight the depression and clear my skin and all that. And I said, you know, this took me a really long time to figure out how to do this for myself. I'm sure there's a lot of other people who are struggling with the same things. Being in a creative industry that has a lot of traps, so it's, you know, it's hard to stay healthy. You know, in all ways, you know, and to feel positive about yourself. So I said, I'm gonna write a book about this, and I'm gonna start coaching people. So that's what I did. So I started my coaching practice working with actors and creatives on how to stay healthy and sane in a not very healthy or sane profession. And that led to books and the workbook. I have an audiobook, and that's what I do now. So I still, you know, God willing, when the theater opens again, I still do live theater here and there. And then I work with clients and coaching and writing and talking to friendly people like yourself.
Oh, that is amazing. So I'm sure, though, that some of those things, because a lot of that, I do understand that industry. I have a little bit of just experience with it. But it really is really what a lot of successful people experience, whether they're in acting or not. And that's just finding the time to really take care of yourself at the end of the day. So I'm sure that your book and a lot of your other things are very beneficial to lots of people in lots of industry.
Oh, absolutely. And actors are entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime you have to go out there and hustle and sell yourself, and that you are the product and you're constantly interviewing or auditioning and, you know, you're reliant upon yourself for income. You're not just clocking into a job where somebody else gives you the clients or something. You're out there hustling. I think it's a lot of the same issues with mindset and finding the balance of work and recovery and rest and, you know, how the rejection can, it's very hard not to take that personally. So yeah, there's mm-hmm. a lot of parallels in other professions for sure.
Absolutely.
And taking care of yourself in a lot of ways, you know, we're all human and we have to do a lot of the same things to take care of ourselves for sure.
Absolutely. So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about then how this business has shaped your life and your lifestyle today. And especially in light of that you were successful, but not happy and miserable. So how has that affected your lifestyle today, that shift?
Well, one of the things that I have learned for myself and that I definitely work with my clients on is to not have all of your eggs in one basket and not be completely reliant on your career for your happiness. Because if it's not going well, or if you lose that big account or whatever, or you don't get that audition, you're devastated. So to have value for yourself, to find worth, value, happiness in other things beyond just how you label yourself for what you do. That's one huge, huge thing right there. Because if you just say, I am an actor, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a, you know, real estate agent, and the market isn't going well, it's hard to feel like you're still an okay human being if that's the only thing that gives you value. So finding other outlets, other things that you're good at, other things that you enjoy, other social outlets, you know, so you can be more balanced. So you can roll with the hits more and be more resilient.
Very good. So what do you think, or have you identified sort of your superpowers or your skill sets that have really helped you along this journey?
I think that having a sense of humor is immensely helpful in all situations. So not taking myself or other people too seriously, having a playful spirit. I think those are fun. And some of the stuff I talk about is not always fun and sexy, you know, getting sleep, you know,
right.
You know, eating your vegetables. That's not always the sexiest thing. So finding playful, entertaining ways to present that in my writing and in my coaching, I think that's helpful. It just makes the message more accessible. And I think I'm pretty good at explaining things as far as simplifying things and making sense out of some concepts that can be daunting or overwhelming or scientific, but finding ways to simplify them. So I think those are superpowers.
That is great. And you want to know what? That is not a superpower that a lot of people share that they have. So like I ask this question and different people have different skill sets. And there's always sometimes one that comes up that it's like, oh, I haven't heard that, or I haven't heard that in a really long time. I do think that that is a skill. Like I think I've read so many business books. And so you can read a book and you just can't seem to grasp it, or it doesn't take off for you and you just don't get hooked. And a lot of that is just, it's very difficult to understand. And it could be the same concept in another book, but they explain it in such a way that it's simplified, it's in storytelling, it's relatable, it has analogies. And that's kind of where I've always come from as a speaker as well. And I think that that's a skill set that that is difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess so. And everyone wants to feel important and needed. And I have this new exotic way of explaining things, but a lot of truth is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to break it down.
I would agree with that. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments. What's something that's been super meaningful for you?
Well, I just won an award from the San Diego Theater Critics Circle. That's where I'm based. So that was a huge vote of confidence for a play that I was very excited about. So getting the gig was a huge accomplishment, but then also getting nominated and ultimately winning the award for that, that was something I was excited about. And that my book did well on Amazon. I mean, that was my first book. I think I beat The Artist's Way for a day or two, which is cool when you see books that you've read and you beat them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just knowing that I've reached some people and I get emails or from people saying, you know, thank you, you made a difference. And, especially when I go into theater programs and I talk to students and the professors are so excited to bring health and wellness into their curriculum that it hasn't been included in the past. And that's been a big hole in what we're training our actors and young students is how to take care of yourself. So the gratitude that I get from people has been very rewarding.
Oh, that is so awesome. So now let's flip the coin there and let's talk about an obstacle or a challenge and then how you face that and how you've worked through it.
Oh, gosh. aside from how I led the interview with being fat and miserable and having no self-esteem. So I would say that there's been this little pandemic thing going around, which my industry and my clients' industry has been 100% devastated. I mean, Broadway has said that they're going to be dark till at least June 2021 at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's a minimum of 14 months of nothing. So all the actors, the musicians, the stagehands, the wig makers, the scenic artists, the vendors, the restaurateurs in the area, all of it devastated. And aside from a couple little blips here and there with people producing stuff on Zoom, there's nothing going on. And a lot of my client base, I do work with some entrepreneurs, but a lot of them are actors and creatives, and they are not, they're out of work.
Yep.
And it's and there's no end in sight at this point. So it's that's been a big hit. That's been a big hit for all of us. And trying to reinvent, trying to figure out, what do we do now?
So that counts as an obstacle. That is a huge obstacle. I have felt it myself as a public speaker when there is absolutely no speaking engagements.
Yeah, there's no public. There's no public. There's no public. Yeah.
So what are some of the ways that you are pivoting or that you are doing? Because I think that it is one of the toughest things. And so what are some of the things that you've been doing to sort of navigate the situation, reinvent yourself, if you will?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been doing is I've been distance learning three kids by myself, so that keeps me busy. Mm-hmm. But that's not exactly the most lucrative. Teachers don't get paid well, and home teachers get paid even less. So I sped up the release of the audiobook is one thing I did. So and I have been doing some pro bono and some pay what you can coaching for actors who are out of work. And helping other people try to figure out, now what, and what other skills do you have and what else can you do? And, some people that's delivering DoorDash, and Uber Eats, and some people that's office or, it's time to write. It's time to, work on, store the nuts for next winter, and work on developing material but a great time to establish habits and self-care and taking care of yourself. But the one thing I've noticed and that where my clients are needing the most help right now is, I kind of see it in that there's two phases. There's the working on your craft, working on your skills, recording YouTube videos, writing things, redoing your resume, whatever those practical things are. But there's a stage that a lot of people need because everyone's been so traumatized is working on getting safe enough and certain enough and secure enough to be able to get to that place where they can create. And because it's kind of the basic human needs that if you don't feel safe, it's almost impossible to be creative or get any work done. Or, you see these people who are, alphabetizing their spice drawer and, you know, writing the great American novel and all these great uses of their time. But a lot of the people that I work with are just traumatized and scared. So mm-hmm. right now it's about getting them calm enough and positive enough so they can crawl out of that hole, so they can begin to consider the second stage, the, you know, which is more luxurious, of being able to get the work done. So it's been a lot of almost trauma work with people, mm-hmm. a lot of working on stress management and taking care of themselves and establishing good habits so then they can come to getting back to work in a healthier, more secure place.
Yep. So on a lighter note,
which is pretty much any other topic.
I know. On a lighter note, so outside of the pandemic, if we could just put that in a little bubble right now.
It'll be here. We don't need to dwell on it.
Right. What does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, I get to live in Southern California. That's a happy place right there. you know, sunshine outside the window. That helps. The fact that I get to work from home and that my kids are nearby, and especially when they're doing school from home at this point, that in between clients, in between writing sessions, in between podcasts, whatever, I can come out and get some hugs, you know, make my kids a sandwich, get some snuggles with my dog. I mean, that's pretty happy. And the fact that I have the flexibility to schedule hour by hour, project by project, what I want to do. So I can take the vacation. I can be there for my kids' play. I can form my life and shape my life in a way that suits me. And if I'm lucky enough to be doing a theater project or a music project, I can take a little bit more time for that. Or if I'm not doing that, I can spend more time on the coaching and the writing and kind of ebb and flow with that. So I appreciate the flexibility and being home and California sunshine.
There you go. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to go down this entrepreneurial journey?
So what I thought for me was a detriment. I thought, you know, I touched on my bio very quickly, but that I went in a bunch of different directions. I was an actor. I worked in radio. I worked in Hollywood. I was a health coach. And to me, it sounded like these things were all in totally different directions. And it's like it was this weird zig and zag. But I realized that combination of things actually made me kind of cool and unique. And mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of people who had that combination of things. So instead of saying, oh, well, I have all these weird skills that have nothing to do with each other, if you can find a way to connect those dots, you might be able to come up with a really unique, interesting combination of things that makes you you. So I would say try to find a way to connect your dots, figure out what those dots are, and, you know, how can you make a contribution with your unique set of skills and circumstances?
Very good. So in the area of sort of your what you're doing these days as far as health and wellness and helping people, do you have like three tips that people that listening are like, I know I need to get healthier. I know I need to get a hold of this. I do think that a lot of people have let that go, even though they've had more time to probably take care of themselves. There's depression that is sort of set in, and people have kind of had this attitude of like, does it even really matter? So yeah, that's what I've seen. I think I experienced a little bit of that at the very beginning. And then I was like, okay, get a grip. So, what kinds of things are important, or what are some simple tips that people can do to sort of get that, get their health and wellness self back on track?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been a why bother, you know, why mm-hmm. bother should I take care of myself? I'm going to be stuck in my house forever or out of work or the world's coming to an end or whatever. I might as well, you know, have that Twinkie because who cares?
Right.
So I think one of the things is the mindset shift is, I care. You care. The people around you care. If you don't feel good, it's much harder to do anything. And you can either spiral upward or you can spiral downward. So I think the first thing is the mindset of it does matter. And what you put in your body and how you take care of yourself does matter. And when you start feeling better, good habits stack upon themselves. If you start eating well, you're going to want to take care of your environment. When your environment's cleaner, you're going to want to be more willing to work. You're going to be more willing to socialize and all of that. So I think the first thing is having that mindset.
Okay.
That, yes, bother, you know, because you'll feel better, and then it'll just, everything will get easier when you feel good. I think the second thing is sleep. I did read a statistic that a lot of people are getting a lot more sleep now, which is great, but there's also a lot of people who are staying up really late and going down the Netflix rabbit hole and all that. So I would say good sleep hygiene is very important. Setting a schedule for yourself. Our body loves regular sleep hours to know what to expect. So setting a sleep time and a wake-up time. You know, I use my phone and just set reminders an hour before bed. You know, turn off all your screens and get ready for bed. You know, that I can go down that if you want me to with, you know, sleep in a cold, dark room and quiet and stay off the screens and the computers and all the blue light. You know, don't watch the news right before bed, especially right now. Stay off social media before bed. You know, a little bit's okay, but not right before bed. You know, getting sunlight, exercise, all of that to help you sleep. Those are, our bodies are meant to sleep. You know, we're like, we charge our battery on our phone every day. We need to charge our batteries as well with sleep.
Okay.
And then the third thing I would say, because, you know, there's a lot of them, is some kind of a stress management routine. And that can look different for everybody. That could be a formal meditation practice. That could be taking walks in nature or just having some time outside and getting some fresh air and sunshine. That could be journaling. That could be, there's various techniques of tapping and things you can do for that. But one of the easiest, cheapest things to do is regularly take 5 deep breaths through your nose and exhale slowly. You know, inhale for the count of 5, hold for the count of 5, exhale for the count of 5. And do that regularly. Get some oxygen into your brain and take back your nervous system, because that seems to get so hijacked by the news and fear and busyness and everything else. So just being able to intentionally breathe is very valuable to just calming your butt down, and then being able to get yourself back to, you know, out of fight or flight and being able to function again.
Good. Those are 3 awesome tips. I like the way you put stress management instead of just saying, you know, working out or do this or do that, because I really think that people have to find that sort of special spot for themselves and then do more of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think working out is great. But I don't know if that's the number one thing we need right now.
Right.
You know, I have a spin bike in my house, and that has saved my butt recently. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm spinning the crazy away. So it definitely has helped a lot with my anxiety, but it's not the most important thing.
Right.
And, you know, even just going for a walk or something, mm-hmm. movement is really important. So yeah, I definitely think we should be working out, you know, not overworking out, because that can stress our body out more. But, and then I also think nutrition is incredibly important, but again, right now it might not be in the top 3.
Correct. Well, this has been awesome. So is there anything new and exciting that you're working on right now that you think our listeners could benefit from?
Well, I am really excited about the audiobook that just came out. So I recorded it myself. So I narrated it, and you know, I talked to a lot of people who didn't want me to narrate it, and I fought for that. I thought I really like hearing the author tell their own story and read their own book. So I fought for that, and I'm really glad I did. I'm really happy with how it turned out. So that's probably the thing I'm most excited about is me reading my own book and coming full circle with that.
Do you want to know what? That is exciting and good for you, and I'm glad that you fought for that. So the book that I have, and it's done very, very well. It is. It was a bestseller for in 4 countries for a while, and it still continues to do well 5 years later. But they just put it on an audiobook like 6 months ago and someone called me and said, oh, I got your audiobook. I'm thinking, I don't have an audiobook.
Oh, no.
And so the publishers just did that and hired some girl. And I'm like, why didn't you hire me? Like, why didn't you let me do my own book? I was flabbergasted with that because I do think it should be the author.
Yeah, I think unless there's a problem or, you know, obviously if it's a posthumous thing and the author's no longer available.
Right,
but I think the author knows, I mean, they wrote it. They bring an extra level. They understand their humor and their pacing and their explanations. And I think it just adds another level of interest and texture to it. So,
absolutely. Well, good. Congratulations on that. Well, this has been absolutely delightful, Deborah. And so thank you so much for being part of our show. And in closing, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Well, anything you want to know about me is at deborahwanger.com. That's WANGER.com. So you can hear about speaking gigs and theater and coaching and books and all of it right there.
In your album?
In my album. Yeah, I didn't realize that was still in my bio. But yeah, you can hear me sing if you want to hear me sing.
There you go. That is awesome. Well, once again, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today. It's been a very lovely interview. I enjoyed it so much. And I really encourage you to subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so that you don't miss a single episode. And again, feel free to leave us a rating. We both appreciate that. So until next time, continue to work from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.